With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
To be honest, went for a walk. We misjudged the timing.
That's perfectly fine. Are you kidding me? You're doing me a huge favor. So you can be as late as you want. It's absolutely fine.
It's my pleasure, man. It's just nice to speak to you. Does it sound all right?
Yeah, it's sounding absolutely perfect. I've started recording, but you know, I just do this. I don't really think that this is a podcast worthy of a proper introduction. It just happens, and I think that's fair. I think it's fine.
I think it sums us up. I think, you know, we don't need high production values. We just need to talk
We're
to
real.
Each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Real.
And do you know what? I often think back to your podcast that we recorded together, because I don't think I've ever really admitted out loud that I talk to God. I don't think I've ever said that to anyone. But I do. Yeah, I do. It's weird for anyone who absolutely 1,000% does not believe in God to talk to him quite as much as I do.
Same. I talk really to weird. Someone.
Yeah, I don't know God. What it is.
No. This is sometimes I'm out and I say, come on, for fuck's sake, come on.
Come on, God. You almighty prick.
Do something.
So you lazy fuck. You've made one universe. One. Fucking do something else.
Yeah, you lazy prick. That was years ago. What have you done since?
He's such a turd. Anyway, this is like that's King of Leon. It's like Kings of Leon. What?
Yeah, they had a couple of good albums and then they just kind of went off the boil. But they're still trading on that. The cool stuff. You know, no. You lost it years ago. It's like God, one universe. Come on, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. And listen, mate, if you do have time, it's well worth spending your time going on YouTube and looking at the Kings of Leon footage. I think it was a gig in Boston, somewhere like that, where they're doing an outdoor gig. And at one point, all of the many, many, many pigeons that are in the rafters of this outdoor stage all shit at once. It's amazing to watch. It's really good.
Even the wildlife goes, no, mate, Sex on Fire, not having it. Not having it.
No.
In the bin.
It is a terrible song, isn't it?
Oh, it's fucking awful. Awful. Absolutely. It's up there It's up there with Peter Andre, Material Girl, whatever it was called. Mysterious Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Come on, God. Jesus. Well, I think you and I agree a fair bit on music, though. I think now that I think of it, because you introduced me to a great band that I really got to love, and for the life of me, I can't remember their name now. They're a great sort
Evil
of really.
Wizard.
That's exactly who it is, Evil Wizard. They and they're brilliant. And I'm so back into old school heavy metal at the moment. I'm loving old heavy metal. 80s heavy metal.
Oh.
Proper. I'm loving Priest, loving Maiden, loving it.
Man. And Judas Priest, I mean, what's the lead singer called? Rob Halford. I mean, what a fucking showman. What a showman.
Incredible. And you know what? I'm really big. I've only been a Judas Priest fan for a year. Like, I bought all of their albums in one go. And
I've been watching it unfold.
Yeah. And it's a joy to discover a band like that, you know, way after, you know, maybe I should have. And the other day I was walking down the street in Lewisham and I found I didn't touch it, but I saw it lying on the ground. I found a studded cod piece.
Wow, Lewisham really has come up in the world.
Exactly. Well, and you can't help but think, oh, it'd be nice if Rob Halford visited us just once. Just came down, blessed us.
What I love about things like that is when you see things like that, it just laying in the street and you're like, what's the story behind this?
Exactly.
It doesn't look like it. I mean, it might have been like, so, you know, when you lose a trainer after school, you know, you're on the way home from PE.
Yeah.
You lose one of your PE shoes.
Sure.
He fell out of a bag. He's on his way back from a party or to a party even. Oh, God, you'd be gutted on the way to a party.
Yeah, that'd be horrible for everyone.
And now it's just left in the street. And yeah, I always think it's like when you see one shoe on the hard shoulder of a motorway.
Yeah.
What happened there?
But exactly. But it could be like, you know, some dude just totally into the whole S&M thing or whatever. And he's just decided, no, do you know what? I've had enough of that. I'm going to wear nice business suits and be a good Christian from now on or whatever. I like someone really becoming massively conservative right after being so incredibly, incredibly flamboyantly sexual.
Imagine that. That's just that's his midlife crisis, just going completely straight edge. He's got himself a nice mortgage, you know, he's mowing his lawn and that's what happens to those people, isn't it? It's just that you go the opposite way. So done with this life.
He's gone into the bank to get his mortgage, he's signing the mortgage, and that's when his cock ring drops off. And he goes, that's it. I'm free now. I'm free of sexual liberation.
I'm now closeted. I'm back in the closet now. Yeah. I don't need this freedom.
No, I'm going to bottle everything really up, really, really tight, and it'll all be fine.
As he's ripping out his teeth.
I wish that guy all the best in the world.
All the very best.
All the very best to you, Jonathan. It's been great having you on the show. Now get back in the closet. And good luck to you. Good luck to you in there. I don't think you'll like it. You'll like it at all. Hey, listen, let's start. Let's start this freaking podcast. Here we go. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Leg Hall. Hey, you never guess. You'll never fucking guess. Never. You'll just never guess who it's just tumbled right into the leg hole today. It's none other than absolutely superb comedian. It's Rich Wilson. And everyone applause.
Lovely to be here in the leg hole. Lovely.
Sorry about the smell. Take a seat. listen, you are In fact, for me to say you're one of my favorites just isn't enough. You are a huge, huge favorite of mine. I adore you. There you go. I'm saying it. I adore you.
Thank you. Same. Likewise. I always love working with you. I love watching you. I love being around you. It's a nice place to be around Michael Legg.
Well, that's very kind of you, mate. Listen, and I admire you, but I'm also healthily a little bit jealous of you. You know, in a good way. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you always seem to like new stuff, and you've got a really great manner of doing like material that's probably fairly new or maybe just a couple of months old. It all just feels like it's so conversational, and it's like whatever you're talking about, it happened just like a minute ago. And yet, it's crafted. It's crafted and well put together. I'm a big fan of yours.
Big fan of yours, mate, as well. Because I said this to you before. I was always before I sort of knew you, I was always kind of in awe of you, and I was always kind of like you. You made me, you sort of not nervous, but you know, I was kind of like, a bit scared of you, to be honest. And then getting to know you, well, this is the other side, and I was like, I really admire that side, but he scares me. And I like that. People that scare me. But no, I mean, I don't mean like, you know, hiding under the bed. I mean, it's like some people like, phew, I was just, oh, he's got something about him. And now we've got, you intimidated me. That was it. You intimidated me.
Yeah, that's what I do to people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do. You intimidate.
I'd make a really good white supremacist, wouldn't I? You know, those guys should get me involved. Those white supremacists should come to me and go, mate, would you get involved? Because I'd be so fucking good at it. I'm really intimidating.
If anything needs a rebrand,
yeah,
it's the white supremacists. I mean, it's all this shit they're pumping out at the minute. It's just old hat.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and do you know what? I could be like the Tony Blair of white supremacists, you know?
Yes, perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, going there all smiles, being everyone's friend.
And then blowing up a foreign country. Yeah, I could be just like him.
Exactly like him. You are the Tony Blair of the comedy world.
I'm so delighted you're on this podcast. And I'm also delighted that you very kindly started off by giving me such a lovely compliment. And I immediately changed it into making it all about me being a white supremacist. And I think that's very much what this podcast is about.
Do you know what it is? It's because neither of us, the pair of us, can't handle compliments. As you were complimenting me, I was like, I need to, subconsciously, I was like, I need to turn this around and put it on him.
Well, then you were going to feel particularly awkward then at question number 5 today. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen here, Rich. We've got 10 questions. Well, I've got 10 questions for you. And from the answers that you give, I am going to put together a psychological profile of you, which at the end of the podcast, I will give to the police. So that is the entire premise of Legghole. Got 10 questions. The first question, the last question are the same for every guest who falls into the Legghole, but it's the 8 in the middle. Rich, it's the 8 in the middle. Those are the ones where we find out who you truly are. Question number 1, Rich Wilson. Do you like sherry?
No.
No, oh, that's no, I don't. Firm.
Tried it.
Did you?
I've tried the thing and let's have a sherry after dinner and it was all right, but you know, I don't need to have it again.
I'm not sure if I've ever had one, but I don't like the thought of it.
Do you know what it is? It's that I think it might be the working class chip on my shoulder,
right?
Where I associate having a sherry with poncy, you know, people, and I'm like I can't.
Right.
I mean, I think that's it. You know, I mean, I struggle with a knife and fork. I feel that bit bougie.
Okay. Well, I'll put spiteful. I'll put spiteful down on your psychological profile, but you know, I'll also put thick. There you go.
Thank you.
There you go. Well, listen, I'm glad it was a firm no. It was such a firm no, wasn't it? Such a strong yes, no. Yeah. I'm very much on the strong no side, despite never having a sherry. Not to my memory. I'm actually going to put down, as you hate sherry so much, I'm going to put down anti-Christmas. Hates Christmas. Here we go with question number two. Rich Wilson, have you ever given anyone a shave?
No. I had to think about that.
Yeah.
I've shown people how to shave.
Right, okay.
I've never given them. Do you know what makes me laugh about shaving is when you're watching a film and there's like the tough guy, the guy, like the leader that's he's leading them through the jungle or wherever it is. And they're like, and he's like the guy that can make it. He's going to get these poor souls whose boat sank. He's going to get them through the jungle back to civilization. And then he's like, we've got to make a camp for the night. So he makes this camp and they all bed down and they wake up in the morning and he's having a shave of his big knife.
I want to be that guy. Yeah.
Be like, what are you shaving for? Do you have a job interview?
Yeah, in case, say, you know, a photographer comes around or something, you know, he's having a, wants to be neat. That's good.
He wants to be neat.
He'd be the same if he was like in a plane crash as well, wouldn't he? Like, as the plane's plummeting, you go, well, better shave.
Clean my teeth, because this is what they're going to find.
Yeah, do you know, I've never thought about that guy before, and now I really, truly admire him. The guy in the jungle having a shave.
Yeah, just they find him, he's a river that's full of crocodiles and whatever else, and he's there just shaving with a big knife.
Just one tiny nick of his skin, and all of a sudden, all lions can smell him. Go, there's blood. Oh, shit, what have I done? And that's everyone in the group he's trying to save killed. But well done, mate. You looked lovely there while you were being eaten.
Well done, you fucking idiot.
I like that guy. Okay, so you hate men. I'm going to put that down. You've never shaved anyone, so hate men. And you know, who's got a problem with that, really? No one's got a problem with that. Question number three, Rich Wilson. Is comedian the most menial job you've ever had?
No.
No? Wow. Holy shit. What could it have been?
I packed bananas for 2 weeks.
Why is that so fucking funny? It's not funny, but it is funny.
I think I used the word packed and bananas.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
We're in that headspace.
Yeah,
I did that. I packed bananas, mate. Packed bananas. I've said this before somewhere else, but I will say it again. One of the biggest joke in the place was because you used to wear Pete's caps, like baseball caps with Fifes written on them. And at some point during the day, someone would turn around with a banana on the peak of the cap and go, wait, who threw that?
See, you had 2 weeks of fun. That doesn't seem such a menial job. That seems pretty good.
Do you know what was cool? When they told me that sometimes they find tarantulas in the crates when they come off the lorry. And and I was like, oh, I'd like that. And you'd find, I think we found a dead one. Someone else I know that was working there, he found one, took it home. I don't know how he got it home.
Right.
Maybe under his hat. I don't know.
I don't think you should. This is just my opinion. I don't think you should bring a tarantula home. There you go.
No,
that's my opinion.
I don't think so. I've heard, you know, they find tarantula. There was I don't know if it's like an urban myth. Somebody that bought a rubber plant or something. And they were repotting it or something like that, and they found a half-eaten tarantula in the thing, and they were like, so they got someone in, and they were like, we found this, and they said, well, this isn't really the problem. The problem is, where's the spider that ate that one?
Yeah,
because obviously it was eating that to survive on in transit. And so, you know, they check the house and all this sort of thing. And then later on, they find it in the duvet on the bed. This is after a couple of weeks.
Oh, shit. They
made out in the duvet.
shit. Do you know Rob Rouse, the comedian Rob Rouse? Do you know his story about waking up with a blanket of bees?
No.
Yeah, what? he left a bedroom window open and he fell asleep with the light on, and all these bees, there was a bee's nest right outside, and he woke up, you know, when he heard that, and he thought, am I dreaming or something? And then he opened his eyes and he had left the, you know, the overhead light on, and he just saw thousands of bees right by the light. And then he looked at his blanket and it was covered in bees.
I'm covered in bees.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is. I just go, well, that's it. I'm dead now. I want the heart attack. Just get me out of this.
Yeah, that's nightmare.
That is nightmare. It is an actual fucking nightmare.
Oh my
Sleep well,
God.
Everyone.
Yeah. This is the thing. When you start hearing about these things, like we talked about God before, and you go, well, I used to think I knew how the world worked, and then weird shit keeps happening, and you go, do you know what? I actually don't know. I don't know. Maybe there is a God after all, because I genuinely don't have a handle on the world as much as I thought I did. Like a bed full of bees. Who knew that was a thing?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Why would bees come into your house? In, I don't know. So,
I don't know.
Put hates bees. Put that down.
Hates bees.
Yeah, fucking hates bees. But also, you did say that being a comedian wasn't your most menial job. So I'll go, huge sense of superiority.
The world needs to laugh, man. The world needs gestures.
It does. It does. It does. It now more than ever.
More than ever.
Here we go. Question number something. I think it's four. Who cares? Rich Wilson, starting with your first gig, how many of your gigs can you remember?
Oh, blimey. Yeah, everyone, you always remember the first one.
I don't. I don't remember my first gig. Don't remember it.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I just don't remember it.
That is weird, because you don't. It must have gone really well then.
I don't think anyone can remember my first gig. It's just... I think after my first gig, the Men in Black turned up and just wiped their fucking memories.
Just neuralized everything.
Such a horrible experience. Yeah.
I remember the first one. I do remember some of them. You always remember the tricky ones. I remember the one that we scorched into my brain hole, and yours, I imagine, was Croydon. Stranglers.
And
I had to bring you on whilst people still having their food get brought out, and I literally said to you, I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to bring you on to this.
Yeah.
It's the worst introduction anyone's ever had.
Oh, well, I mean, it wasn't your fault, though, that the gig was bad. The gig was just fucking appalling. And that was the last night that gig ever had.
Yes, it was.
And I had actually performed at that terrible gig in Croydon just the week before. And I think I did something like 8 minutes and then walked off stage when I was supposed to do 20 or 25. And weirdly, because I was the day that we did Croydon together, I was free that day. I didn't have a gig. And I got a call saying, oh, Michael, are you free tonight? Do you want to do Croydon? What, after last week? You're asking if I want to do it again. I went, fuck it. Yes, I do. Because I built up rage in me. And went, I really want to give them a fucking bollocking. And if you remember, I did give them a fucking bollocking, including the staff. I went, they're fucking useless, and called them all cunts. And do you know what? It was incredibly therapeutic. But better than that, we closed that gig forever.
Forever.
Yeah, it's good that.
Forever. Oh, mate. It was. I remember those ones. I just remember you and I have had a couple like that where we've just kind of sort of stood there and gone, what the fuck are we meant to do with this? And just did our best.
Oh, but to be fair, though, the last time we did gig together, I thought the gig was a bit tricky, but you were brilliant at it. And I went on and got next to nothing because I was giving next to nothing because I was jet lagged to fuck because I literally just got back from Nashville. And when I got off stage, I said to you, why did I do that? Why didn't I just go home to bed? Why am I doing a fucking gig?
You just got back from Nashville. Yeah.
So stupid.
Which is, mate, well, we all do it. I mean, I was with a band of man at the weekend and he's literally got back from Adelaide.
Right.
And he was going, you know, and he's like, I don't even know why I've agreed to this. Because you do, before it all, you go, yeah, fine, I'll be fine for that.
Yeah, you will. But you'll it's be fine.
You don't realise how debilitating jet lag can be.
Yeah, I mean, and also how old I am. I don't know how old I am. I know my age. But I don't know how old I am.
I know. I'm the same. I know how old. Again, I'm 51, but I don't feel that.
No.
I'm a tree. I'll do that.
I'm not mature enough to be 54. I'm not wise. I've learned nothing. You know, I've got to 54 and like I've no advice to give anyone. I've got nothing.
No, same. Yeah. Same. I would never be spoken of like I'm Ben Kenobi.
No.
You know, it'd never be like, oh, Wilson knows. It's like, no, he doesn't. He has no idea. He doesn't even know where his keys are half the time.
Do you know what? That has actually nailed it. No one, and I mean no one has ever gone, do you know who would know? Michael. No one. No one's ever said that. Never.
Michael, the Oracle leg.
No, no. Do you know who we should ask? If you say Michael, I'll punch you. Oh, well, I'll shut up, man. It's, you know, it's, no one's ever said it. No one's ever said it. No.
Mind you, that's true, though. That gets us off the hook.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, you know, yeah, that's right. No one will ever bother us.
No.
I mean, you look at the wisest people in the world, fucking people are always asking fucking questions.
It's just relentless.
You know what? After a while, I think Confucius must have just gone, oh, fuck off and think for yourself, stupid cunts. Very wise, Confucius.
Again, I've written countless books. You've heard all I've got to say, and still you're on a...
Yeah.
Ben Kenobi, he hid himself on that dusty rock, and they still found him, poor sod.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a bit creepy. He sort of lived on a desert so he could watch a young boy for years and years. I think it's wrong. He's not that wise.
Yeah, dirty old perv.
He is a dirty old perv. So you can only remember like your first gig. You can't remember. I'm going to put down unmemorable.
Yeah. I remember some of them. I remember, you know, bits and pieces. I do remember. It's like when I watch films or read a book or something, and people say to me, "How was it?" and I'll kind of sum it up. I'll go, yeah, it was good. Or oh, I didn't enjoy it. But when I meet people that can quote vast, quote vast passages from books and things, like, how have you done that?
Yeah. I always feel a bit thick when I've talked about books to other people who have that memory. And you go, oh God.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't. Because when I'm reading, I'm enjoying it, but not every word goes in because I start thinking about other things. And I realize I was just looking at words, but I didn't read any of them.
Or when people tell you, they tell you what the film actually meant. Like what it meant is like, well, actually, the film was really about friendship and this and that. And I'm like, oh, okay. I just watched Spider-Man kicking the shit out of a goblin for 2 hours. I didn't realize it was a subtext.
And that was about the Holocaust. Was it?
All right. Okay. I didn't get that from that film. But
I did not pick up one bit.
I need to watch that again. I need to watch it again.
Oh, now I get it. You're weeping at the end of Spider-Man. Oh, no, I get it now. I get it now.
Oh God! Peter Parker's
Spider-Man. That's why it's in black and white. But that little girl's red coat is the only. No, I get it. There, Spider-Man's a good movie. It's very deep.
I get it. Thanks, mate. Thanks for clarifying.
Question number five. I'm looking forward to this question. Question number five. Rich Wilson, do you know you're handsome?
Do you know what? I had this conversation a little while ago. I was talking to my beautiful wife, and she kept saying that she was this and she was that. I'm like, do you have any idea how fucking stunning you are? You're beautiful. You're radiant. People envy you. And she said, you're the same. And I was like, no. I said, like that old thing. I said, I'm just an old potato. And she said, no.
And I would agree with her on that. You are genuinely really fucking handsome. And I'm telling you that. You are. I've always thought it. Always said, God, you look really good. And also, and I don't give a shit about, you know, men don't compliment any, you know, other men. They just don't. I don't give a shit about any of that. I'm so secure in my sexuality. I'll fucking say how handsome you are. I couldn't give a shit. And you have amazing skin.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you.
You look great.
I think it's you get to a point, like the conversation we had, and enough people say you look great, you're a handsome dude. So you kind of go, well, there must be something in that. If I was to walk around going, you fucking look at you, then, right. That would be ridiculous. But people do say, you know, they go, yeah, mate, I'd love to look like you at your age. And you go, all right, thanks very much. I'll take that.
Yeah. So, you look great.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Even now, I'm cringing trying to answer this question.
No, I think it's I'll just put down narcissist.
Narcissist. Arrogant narcissist.
Yeah.
Enough people tell you and you go, all right, well, there must be. So I don't see it myself, but other people.
No, you are. Go, okay. You are a good looking guy. Really, without thank question. There. And when I said earlier, I'm a little bit jealous. That really does factor into it. Oh, my God, he always looks good. God damn it.
Thanks, man.
I shouldn't be jealous of that. I should be happy for you, right? So I've decided that's how I am. So there we go. There you go. You big narcissist. Question number six.
What was that? I was just too busy looking in this puddle.
Sure. Oh, my God. You've pissed yourself in the living room again. Oh, no. Oh, well. Oh, Rich. Rich Wilson. What did you do to support Gary Lineker during his recent ban from Grange Hill or whatever TV show he does?
I made a joke on Twitter 2 days later.
Oh, you were right there for him, but, you know, a bit late. Yeah.
Zeitgeist is my middle name. I was right. I was watching it unfold and I was like, yeah, I mean, as you and I have discussed many times, we don't give a shit about football and things like that, but it just goes to show you the level of where we're at with everything that, you know, Gary Lineker becomes the most sort of edgelord amongst us. And it's, you know, I just made a joke yesterday. I was on the tube trying to get into London and on the Central Line, and it said, we are being held at this station due to an earlier incident at White City. And I tweeted that and said, blimey, this Lineker shit is really bringing the country to a standstill. It relies on people knowing that the BBC used to be at White City. So there was that.
Well, it's still sort of there. It's just around the corner, isn't it?
It is. And so, you know, there's many factors there, but it took me, Sunday night after everything was kicking off to finally get to the joke. And then, I did my bit.
No, you did. No, right, you did. You didn't do it at the time. So I'll put down pro censorship.
I will say, since the joke came up, Lilic has been reinstated. So, you know,
that's true.
Make of that what you will.
Oh, do you think the BBC boss went, fuck, they know where we live? And then, shit, Rich Wilson's giving our address away.
But before that, it was still up in the air. Like, what's going to happen?
Was true.
Is Lilic going to be reduced to doing a podcast? You know, is he going to go down that route like Conan O'Brien? Is he going to be reduced to a podcast? But Rich Wilson releases his joke Sunday night at 6:30.
Yeah.
Monday morning, it is reinstated. I mean, you know, what can I say?
Facts speak for themselves, which they often don't these days. But
exactly.
Yeah. So your joke is topical on two levels. Yeah. There we go. Here we go. Rich Wilson, question number, I have no idea. Rich, do you want to hear the best story you will hear this year?
Yes, I do. Always. Always.
I'm not kidding you. It gives me so much joy to be able to tell you this story. And I'm telling you this now. You will not hear a better story that's based on the comedy circuit this year or maybe any other year. And I'm delighted that I get to tell it on this podcast, and I'm glad that you are my guest. Everything about this moment is really making me very happy. And what I want you to do right now for me, Rich, I want you to get your hopes up really high for this story.
They could be higher.
Because I'm telling you this now, you haven't got them up high enough, as you will soon discover. So,
I love this. Oh, come on.
Deborah Frances White is on her way to a gig. It's a big feminist gig, and she is in the back of her car. They sent her a driver. She's not like you and I. She's successful. So
she is successful.
She's very successful. She's in the back seat of the car looking over her notes for the gig. And that's when she realizes she's left her glasses at home and she can't read anything. So she goes, oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh, I know. I'll phone my husband, Tom, and ask him if he wouldn't mind ringing the venue and asking them to reprint up the notes in a larger font. Then she'll be able to read them, right? Easy. So she gets her phone out and obviously she can't really see. So she's scrolling around, gets a Tom's number, rings him. And she goes, hey, Tom, listen, blah, 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 the notes. If you could get the venue to, you know, print them up bigger, that'd be great. And Tom goes, well, actually, Deborah, I can't ring the venue because I don't know what venue you're talking about. Also, I'm not your husband, Tom. I'm Tom Binns.
Oh, my God, that took a turn.
Oh my fucking God.
Fucking hell. Oh my God. Oh my God. My arsehole just blinked.
It's, oh my God. It's like, what do you do when you are, I've accidentally found a convicted pedophile? What do you do? What do you say?
Oh my God. Oh God.
So here's what she did say. She said, oh, are you in jail? And he said, no, I get sentenced on Wednesday. And she replies with, oh, that's International Women's Day. And then hangs up.
Fucking hell. He tried to engage her in a conversation. He didn't.
Yeah, he answered the fucking phone. That's the most amazing part.
The fuck did he think was gonna? What did he think she was gonna do? Back him up?
Like, I really don't think a feminist activist is gonna be on his side that much.
I don't think so. No. Holy shit! She must have felt. Oh my God! She might be the last comedian to phone him as well. That'll be the top.
Yeah. Unless she forgets her glasses again, you know. It'd be great if we find out by the end of the year Tom Binns is fucking sick of hearing from Deborah Frances White. You fucking stop ringing me.
That's how you know you've gone too far, when you fucked with your friend.
Yeah. There you go.
Hell, man. Oh,
good story, isn't it?
Fucking hell. How did she feel afterwards? She must have felt awful.
Do you know? Oh, yeah, of course. But here's the thing. This is a very this is just a personal thing for me, and it's a bit big-headed, but she rang me immediately. Well, she left a voice note immediately saying, Michael, and this isn't that lovely? She thought of me first. And yes. She said, but here's what she said. She went, Michael. Yeah, she said, Michael, I don't know anyone else I can tell this to. Isn't that weird? Because I don't know anyone I can't tell this to. Because, I mean, I've not met that person yet. I mean, maybe I think I could tell Tom Benzett.
I would tell him. Yeah, this is a wonderful story. But is it wonderful because we weren't involved in it?
Who knows? I mean, we could ask our listeners to let us know what they thought of the story. Neil, he's our listener. Neil, do you want to say hello to Neil?
Hello, Neil.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think. What do you think, Neil?
Yeah, what do you think of that story? Do you think that was think that was interesting? Think it was fun for the public who weren't in the comedy? Yeah, let us know. Anyway.
What was perfect about it? That whole... you knew the gold you had in your hands right there.
Oh, man.
And you were right. You built it up perfectly because it's a story
that will
never pop. And I didn't see any of that coming.
No.
I saw the... I was in the...
Neither did Deborah.
No.
I'll tell you who didn't see that twist. Deborah.
Deborah. I tell you what, the moment after she put the phone down, that second, oh God, I wonder what her brain was doing right then, apart from cartwheels in her skull.
I don't know. Maybe it's some form of relief though to hang up on a paedophile. You go, oh right, well that's over. You know that must be.
Oh, yeah. Quite...
Yeah.
Yeah. At no point are you thinking, oh no, I hope I didn't put him out.
You right.
Know, you're at no point that his feelings come into this.
and you can't really say to a paedophile, so what are you up to? Because you don't want to know.
Yeah, normally if you ring someone by mistake, it's like, oh, just, hey, well, good. I'm glad you're keeping busy. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop keeping busy, though. Really stop that. Yeah. You're doing a very bad thing. Hey, Lev, I'm not going to put anything down on your psychological profile because, quite frankly, we were enjoying ourselves. Do you know what?
We were.
Likes to enjoy himself.
At the expense of others.
Yeah. At the expense of feminists. Yeah, notice that. Right, here we go. Question number 8. Rich Wilson. The National Portrait Gallery have asked you to sit for a painting to be hung in their gallery. Do you accept? Keep in mind, they want Matt Hancock to paint it with his dick.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Support Tory. Support Tory. Okay. It'd be a difficult one, though, wouldn't it? Because who wouldn't want to, you know, be in the National Portrait Gallery? Mm.
That's it, isn't it? You see, you've got that side of it. But the thing is, what the best bit about it is, and it's not about legacy.
No.
It's not about what you leave behind. It's about watching a Tory squirm for two hours.
But do you think you could learn to, I don't know, maybe not like, but respect Matt Hancock if he would turned out he was really good at painting with his dick? Like if he did like the Sistine Chapel with his dick, would you not go, fair play? I can't knock him for that.
I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, if you did that, you go, all right, mate, all right. Do you know what? You wasted your time fucking the country up and you could have done that. You could you could have literally fucked a ceiling.
Yeah.
I think that's it. The thing is, he would agree to do it, bearing in mind what we've seen already.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he'd agree to do it.
Anything to, because he just wants redemption. He wants to be forgiven for his past crimes. And he would, if you said, look, this will absolve you of any blame if you do this. Go, fucking, yeah, I'll do it. And he'd do it. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I would allow him to do it. And then at the end, I'd go, by the way, that was all bullshit. We still think you're a dickhead. And well done. Well done.
Well done, dickhead.
Well done, dickhead. You know,
he's going to be a hard person to be chums with, I think, forever.
Yeah, how can you be? I mean, everyone said, oh, he was great on the TV show. And you go, yeah, but he was only put on the TV show so that everyone would talk about it because it was a scandal. It was you could see why he was put on there. And it worked. Everybody, now, look at us. We're talking about him.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Next thing we'll know, Deborah will have accidentally rung him. That's what we'll, that's what we'll find out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still good, isn't it? It's still good.
Deborah, I'm so sorry. Fucking hell.
It's never going to be a bad story. Question number nine, Rich Wilson. Who is the greatest person who has ever lived that you think you're better than?
Well, do you know what's happening is that all these people that you admire, they find out something in their past and go, actually, yeah, he did release all those amazing albums, but, you know, he was a sex offender, or he was this and he was that. And so one by one, all of our heroes are getting knocked off the top. And you've got that in mind, you kind of go, yeah, I've never done that. And so, yeah, I've not released some of the finest music ever that's ever graced human ears. But at the same time,
I didn't feel
it with anybody. So, you know, I can't.
There is that. So
you're saying
the best person who's ever lived that you're better than is a sex offender. That's as good as you can go.
I never fiddled with anybody, so you know, with that in mind, we look at Elvis Presley. Elvis married Priscilla when she was 14. I mean, there is however old she was, and you kind of go, I mean, people go, yeah, but she chose to, but did she choose to, you know? And then there's that, and then there's always, you know, it's such a. And as we go along, it turns out that the guy was of the time, wasn't it? Like Jerry Lee Lewis marrying his 12-year-old cousin, and they go, "Yeah, but you know, it was like that in that town." Okay,
yeah, it was in that town where he grew up. The entire population of 7 people. He had to. Like, he couldn't have moved. No, never crossed his mind.
So, you know, and then you find out like Gandhi, they say about Gandhi, one of the greatest thinkers of the last, you know, however long it's been. And then, but then you can't go upstairs in his house because that's where he'd have his bed and that's where he used to take women to bed. And you're like, fucking hell, apparently.
Was Gandhi a bit of a shagger?
He was a bit of a shagger, mate. Old Gandhi,
fucking hell.
So you kind of, you know, like you say, he's often quoted as, you know, saying this, that, and the other. But, you know, in his downtime, he was upstairs, you know, teaching other things.
Yeah. As long as he wasn't being naughty about it, that's all right.
Isn't it? Yeah, consent, maybe. That's the thing, isn't it? Yes.
Well,
it
you know. Consent.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. We're better than everybody.
Yeah, well, I've just put down better than a sex offender into your psychological profile, and I do hope that helps the police. But here's the final question, Rich Wilson. What is leg hole?
Oh.
Yeah, it's a poser, isn't it?
Yeah, do you know what? It's an exercise in self-exploration.
Ooh, that's good.
Really, the questions really take you by surprise. I've got these questions, and because I love you and I love what you do, I've given it lots of thought, and I really have put the work in.
You definitely.
And it's made me realize a few things about myself in this short space of time. So really, it's an exercise in self exploration, and you know, how you really Now you really see yourself, mate.
Yeah, I'm just putting wrong down in your psychological profile. So if that's all right, just put wrong. Yeah. So, excellent. Rich Wilson, thank you so much for joining me today in the leg hole. I'm now going to remind us all what we have learned about Rich Wilson here today. Rich Wilson is, of course, spiteful, thick, anti-Christmas. He hates men. He hates bees. He has a huge sense of superiority. He's unmemorable. He's a narcissist, pro-censorship, likes to enjoy himself. He supports the Tories. He's better than a sex offender, and he's wrong. And if you put all those things together, that makes our good friend and brilliant comedian, Rich Wilson. Everyone applauds, everyone applauds, everyone applauds, because everyone loves Rich Wilson.
Oh,
Rich,
that was funny.
One more time, thank you so much for joining us. I don't know if you want to say goodbye to Neil.
Goodbye, Neil. Thank you, Neil, and thank you, Deborah, as well.
You're absolutely right. Thank you so much, Deborah.
Thank you.
Do you know what? In many ways, I hope I never hear from Deborah ever again, because quite frankly, if she hasn't got something that good, I don't want to fucking hear it.
So. That story, man. Honestly, I'm not going to stop thinking about that for ages.
Oh, no. You will not. You will not. You will not. And I'm glad it's now a matter of public record. A bit like Tom Binns. Now, here we go. It's the end of Leg Hole. Thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you one more time to Rich Wilson. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.